Good morning, everyone, and happy Advent season. This is Advent. We began last Lord's Day with an Advent service, lighting the candles that you see here on the platform, one at a time, actually, representing faith and hope and joy and love. We are decking the halls. As you can see, it's beautiful. We want to light up the world. We've had an incredible week with the Christmas tree lighting, and every way that we can celebrate Jesus, we want to do it, right? And so this is a beautiful and symbolic way in the lighting of the candles, and I've got some fantastic young people up here with me who are going to help us, and these are actually all children, members of our staff. There's Anna Kate Perry right there, and that's appropriate because we're re-upping on the Joe Perry Sports Complex today, and that's his granddaughter, one of them. And then there's Joshua Mick, Abigail Snyder, Asher Jones, Riley Walker, Kelsey Stevens, and Elizabeth Teague. And what they're going to do is light the gold candle. You see the green candle is lit. It is faith and hope is represented with the gold candle. And oh, how we need the joyous hope that Jesus gives to tell the world who he is. And so Anna Kate and children, would you at this time light the hope candle? Beautiful. Lord, how we thank you for the promise of hope. And we know hope is you, Lord Jesus, that hope has a name, and your name is Jesus. So God, how we praise you and how we thank you for these moments to speak of your love, your grace, your faith, your joy, and this hope that Bethlehem's babe is humanity's hope. May your spirit fill this service with your very presence and your power. In the proclamation of the gospel, the teaching of your word, and the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, may we all enter in with joy in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, children. And at this time, I have the privilege of welcoming back to Prestonwood one of our favorite people and singers. His name is Charles Billingsley. Charles is an amazing worship leader. He now serves as teaching pastor as well at the Great Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. One of my heroes in the ministry, Jerry Falwell Sr., was the pastor, and Charles is singing there and preaching there now and doing conferences. In fact, he's on a Christmas tour. He's got some great Christmas music. Go to his website or just go anywhere. You can download music for Christmas. Type in Charles Billingsley. It's the top of my prayer list, or song list, I should say, and prayer list. It's really good as we're praising the Lord. But he's back with us. We hope he comes again and again. He's going to lead us in worship. He's going to sing. And I want you to buckle your seatbelt because, as I say, this man can sing the paint off the walls. And it's so effortless. It's so effortless. Would you welcome back our friend and brother, Charles Billingsley?
Thank you very much. Man, it's great to be at Prestonwood this morning. Come on, everybody. Let's stand and worship the Lord, all right?
Night lives softly, the world lies sleeping. Heaven bends to earth below. Christmas morning, children waking to hear the sacred story told.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Emmanuel,
and into this marvelous love that has given us life. Oh, new life. So shine your eyes, shine it bright. Ring the bell, Emmanuel. Ring the bell, Emmanuel. Emmanuel has come. Go and tell, oh Emmanuel, oh Emmanuel, Emmanuel has come.
Good morning. Good morning, church family. We have four new believers in Jesus following him in baptism. This is Lamisha Oosthuizen. Lamisha, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you've trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me joy to baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we have some brothers following Jesus this morning in baptism. This is Howie Alam. Howie, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you have trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, it brings me joy to baptize you, Howie, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then these two guys are Howie's big brothers, twins, Hawk and Josh. Hawk, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you've trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen, Hawk. Because of your enthusiastic profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there, Hawk. And this is Hawk's little brother by a minute, Josh. A couple of big basketball players. Cross your arms there, Josh. Josh, are you following Christ Jesus this morning in baptism because you have trusted him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen, Josh. Because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk. The newness of life.
Man, is that awesome to see? Praise the Lord, huh? Put your hands together with us this morning. Let's celebrate by singing a song we all know. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth
everybody. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Charles. He'll be back in just a moment. Please take a seat and let me welcome everyone online with us, the thousands upon tens of thousands who join us online, also on PowerPoint, radio, and television. We welcome you and everyone in the room. This is the Christmas season, and we are celebrating. We have beautiful services planned throughout the month, of course, on the weekends, and our Christmas Eve services, as planned, as always. Four services on Christmas Eve, both campuses. One caveat, the 1:30, the first service on Christmas Eve will be a required mask-only service. Everyone all in, all the time, never take it off, never take it down if you come to that service. So there are just some people. I talked to one of my friends this week. He said, now, Pastor, make sure if we're going to have a mask-only service that people don't take them off because we're leaving if they do. And so I said, I got it. So that's just one service. The rest will be optional on that, just as we normally are. But we wanted to have a service just in case. And we know there are people who just really want to wear a mask throughout the entire service. So there's that. I'm carrying the sign that we're asking you to put in your yard. You pick them up at the exits. Who says there's nothing free? I mean, this is free, but you can just take it with you and put it in your yard. Please do that. Put it at your office, wherever people can see it. You know, the Amazon delivery people, they can see it. Your neighbors and all the rest, please use that sign and invite as many people as you can. I was at a Christmas event last evening. It was just delightful. I was able to invite a lot of people. I hope you'll do the same. Another thing that is happening right now is today we are relaunching officially our Joe Perry Sports Complex project. We put it on pause because of the plague, the pandemic. But last year, at the end of the year, fall, we pledged over $6 million, 6.3, I believe, to this project. And we've got some beautiful photos just to remind you of what this is about. There's the entrance. This is on the northwest side of our plan here. Our property, I should say, and there's the beautiful renderings, and there are ball fields and walking areas and park areas, and it's a magnificent project. It's going to cost around $7 million. You can see there, one thing we saw during the plague, when we were all locked down, we weren't having services here, people were coming up to the church, and it proved our point that people want to be here. And so this is going to be a fantastic area. There's a children's area. It's going to be actually a lot bigger and better than that drawing. There's the $6.3 million pledge so far. And already we're halfway there through this year, even in the midst of all this. What we're asking you to do is continue your pledges through 2021, all next year. If you haven't been a part of this yet and you would like to be, then on the ends of the pews today, there are brochures that look like this. There's a faith commitment pledge card there. You can add to our total. You can bless your church and bless a lot of families through the sports ministry. The sports ministry of Prestonwood is the largest outreach we have in the community outside of online itself. We reach more people in the community through sports than any other program or ministry of the church. It's true. And for example, I got a bunch of guys here and their coaches. Let me pull this up right here. This is football, fifth and sixth grade. We brought football back. It's flag football right now. But these are the Lions. Would you stand up, Lions? That's like Prestonwood Lions. But these are the Nittany Lions. This is their coach, Chad Carno. And thank you for being here. 10 kids, one coach, and 20 parents attending the service today. We're glad to have all of you. And these are representative of why we do this. I mean, the property is great. The fields are awesome. We want to have the best fields possible. Excellence in all things to the glory of God. But it's ultimately about these kids, their coaches, their families. We want to provide an atmosphere where they can meet Jesus, grow in their faith, evangelism, discipleship. That's who we are. That's what we're about. So you can put in a pledge card as you leave and give your offering at the exits. If you're ready today, I would actually prefer that you go home. If you haven't pledged, pray about this. And then bring it back the next service or send it in to us. God bless you. Thank you, Nittany Lions, for being here and doing a great, great job. Now, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. And in our hearts, we pray that we would be always generous. We know that Christmas is all about the giving. So we pray for our mission offering launched last week. We pray for this project renewed today and throughout next year. And we thank you that in just a few months, we'll be playing on beautiful new fields and an atmosphere that is the best in the area for reaching people with the message and the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, how we thank you for your church and your people, the faithfulness of their lives and of their giving. So, Lord, we give you this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Charles, come on back.
Are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome, Holy Child. I hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known, but long awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Friends. fragile fingers sent to heal us, tender brow prepared for thorn, tiny heart whose blood would save us, unto us is born, unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod, rob our sin and make us holy, perfect Son of God, perfect Son of God, welcome to our world.
Aren't you thankful he came for us? Without it, there is no hope. Without him, there is no life. God incarnate, God in the flesh, God with us, and God for us as well. Aren't you thankful for that? Can we stand together and let's just sing this wonderful old Christmas carol? I want to hear you sing it.
Silent night, holy night, oh. Just in the nick of time, you stepped into a world so dark, so alone. Love felt the gravity, the human need of every soul for a home. A miracle of hope. Wonder, heaven sleeping in her arms, hear it roar through pain and skies, alleluias, crash the silent night, Son of God, Love's pure light, Emmanuel, Emmanuel has arrived. An unlikely destiny for heaven's King to come so close and so long. Now let us adore the one who reigns forevermore. He's Christ the Lord. Hear it roar through painted skies. Alleluias. Crash the silent night. Son of God. Love's pure light, Emmanuel, Emmanuel has arrived. Oh, great light of the world, heaven in a manger. Oh, great light of the world, more to be our Savior. Oh, great light of the world, heaven in a manger. Oh, great light of the world, born to be our Savior. Oh, great light of the world, heaven in a manger. Oh, great light of the world, born to be our Savior.
Doesn't get much better than that. And that's Charles Billingsley and our team singing a Michael Neal written song, Painted Skies. So we are so excited to be able to celebrate Jesus. And I want you to take your Bibles, God's Word, turn with me to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're taking a look at Jesus, who he is and why he came, the way maker, who is also the miracle worker, promise keeper, light of the world, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Once again, to all of you with us online, we're so glad that you have joined us. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is Jesus. Not a code, not a creed, not a cause, but Christ himself, the person of Jesus, who is miracle worker, Messiah, Son of God, Savior of the world, Lord of life, and Lord of all. The Apostle John, who was an eyewitness to the life of Christ as a disciple, gave us this last, the fourth of the Gospels, for a particular purpose, and that is to declare the deity of Jesus, that he is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. And so the entire book, like the Gospels, and we're encouraging all of us to read the Gospels at this Advent season, at least read Matthew and Luke, which includes the Christmas stories. John takes it beyond the Christmas story of the birth and even back before time began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And then he tells the story of Jesus as to what he did, his marvelous words and his miraculous works on earth. And he tells us really at the end of the book, the end of his gospel, why he spoke of Jesus in this way. Verse 30, John chapter 20. Now Jesus did many other signs, Simeons, in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. A chapter over, final verses of the book, John 21, 25, he adds on. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The amazing, astounding, miraculous life of Jesus. Miracle worker. It is said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4 that God himself bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles. All of these signs pointing to Jesus. I want to speak first of all of the meaning of the miracles of Jesus. Do you believe in miracles? Well, we know there are miracles everywhere, all around us, all the time. What some would describe as normal, natural occurrences are in fact the laws of God, the miraculous hand of God moving in the universe, in the world, in the planets. I mean, everything around us speaks of the fingerprints, the handprints of God, the miracle-working majesty of God. Christ, who is the Christ of the cosmos, according to Colossians 1, holds everything together in the universe. And there are miracles every day. You might consider them natural occurrences. And some of these miracles, unseen by the human eye, such as gravity, which is not even gravity. We don't know what gravity is. I'll tell you what gravity is. Gravity is God holding things together. Amen. Gravity is God's laws in the universe. People speak of the laws of nature. We speak of the laws of God because God created and governs nature. Even the birth of a baby. As a young pastor up in Oklahoma, I was just getting my feet wet, and we had a delivery, a particular difficult delivery, a member of our church, and it was touch and go with the delivery of this child. And Dr. Van Howard, who became a good friend of mine, was delivering this baby, and it took all day. And again, the father, we were all there praying, crying out to God that the mother would make it, that the child would make it. So we get to the end of a very, very long day, and the delivery happens, the baby's healthy, and mama's healthy, and I'm sitting down with a cup of coffee with Dr. Van Howard as a young pastor. He was an experienced veteran doctor, and I said, you know, I was just wanting to give him a high five for the great job that he did. And I said, hey, Doc, that birth was a miracle. And he looked at me, and he said, young preacher, every birth is a miracle. Amen. And I learned that lesson then and there, and I have never forgotten. Life in the womb, created by God, birthed by the hand of God. Every baby is a beautiful miracle, and as some say, the testimony of God that the world should go on. There are miracles in the heavens. I was scanning some news this week, and I came across on the internet a title: for the first time in 800 years, a Christmas star will illuminate the skies this month. Have you heard about the Christmas star showing up this month? Say, what is that? Jupiter and Saturn are ready, they say, to put on quite a show December the 21st. That's the first day of winter, the winter solstice. The solar system's two largest planets are on course to, quote, collide in an exceedingly rare event not seen since the Middle Ages. On December the 21st, Jupiter and Saturn, you need to mark this on your calendar, Jupiter and Saturn will come so close together that they will look like a double planet, a conjunction that will appear to us on Earth like a super bright point of light. An astronomer by the name of Patrick Hartigan says alignments between these two planets are rather rare, occurring once every 20 years or so, but this conjunction is exceptionally rare because of how close the planets will appear to be to one another. You'd have to go all the way back to just before dawn. I don't know how they know this stuff. But you have to go back just before dawn on March 4th, 1226, to see a closer alignment between these objects visible in the night sky. So if you're hoping to catch a peek at the Christmas star, the Great Conjunction, according to Forbes, this event will be observable anywhere where skies are clear for about an hour after sunset on December 21, the winter solstice. Be sure to mark your calendars. A conjunction this close won't happen again until March 15, 2080. And it won't even be this close. So what you have there is a rare occurrence in nature, something unique, something that doesn't happen very often. And I say this to remind all of us that miracles happen every day all around us, in nature, in creation. But there is another miracle, another kind of miracle, that is beyond a natural occurrence, beyond the normal phenomenons of life. And that is when God intervenes with his power and his presence. What is a miracle? If I were defining it, I would put it this way. A miracle is a supernatural manifestation of God's presence and power. It is when God shows up and does something in a supernatural way. Can God do this? Does God do this? Well, of course he can. God is not limited by his own governance, by his own creation. John Lennox, who is a well-known and very distinguished Christian apologist, said this: God is not a prisoner of the laws of nature. God, who set the regularities there, can himself feed a new event into the system from outside. Science cannot stop him from doing that. The angel said to Mary concerning the birth of Jesus, with God, all things are possible. The meaning of the miracle is when God intervenes. My friend Craig Rochelle has perhaps a more popular version of what this means, a miracle, when God in heaven intervenes on earth. It is not the conjunction of planets, but it is rather the conjunction of heaven and earth. When heaven, God himself, moves near to this planet. Miracles. And the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of God himself in Christ working wonders the Messiah, the miracle workers, Jesus. And if you know the Gospels, if you've taken time to read them, and if you haven't, please do. The Gospels, all four of them, speak often of these miracles when God intervened in Christ, when God gave sight to the blind, when he cured cripples and lifted up lepers and ended fevers and healed hemorrhages, when he spoke and exorcised demons, when he calmed the waves, the winds, and the sea. The disciples one day watched this happen, and they said, "Who is this one that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Jesus, the miracle worker. There are 40 miracles described in the Bible, in the Gospels, about Jesus, miracles that he performed. But as we just read in John's Gospel, there were many more miracles that weren't recorded. There are scenes and scriptures there in the Gospel where the masses, the multitudes are coming to Jesus. And he would touch them and he would speak and he would heal them. He would deliver from disease and demons and disturbances in the winds and the storms of life. He could discern the hearts of men, know what people were thinking. And all of this is because Jesus himself is a miracle. He is God. And his miraculous arrival that we celebrate at Christmas tells the story. The virgin birth of Jesus. On the night that Jesus was born, and previous to it in the announcements of this miraculous arrival, it is chock full of miracles. From angels speaking to Mary and dreams delivered to Joseph and other family members encountering divine presence. And there's the miracle of the virgin conception. We call it the virgin birth of Jesus. And this is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that a virgin will conceive and she shall bring forth a son. Next week, we're going to be talking about Jesus, the promise keeper, and the fulfillment of all the prophecies. This is the top of the list of many when Jesus was to be born of a virgin. The virgin birth is necessary for our salvation. It's described beautifully in the Bible when the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary." She said, "How can these things be?" Good question. It wasn't a question of unbelief, it was just a question of fact. How can this be possible? I've never known a man. And with God, all things is possible. And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow your womb, and you will conceive and bring forth the Messiah." So the virgin birth is really a virgin conception. You say, why is this important? Is this even real? How is it possible, a virgin birth? Well, if you believe your Bible, and I do, every miracle, remember, is when God manifests his power and his presence. Every miracle that comes from God is possible and potential for everyone. And the miracle of the incarnation is this mind-blowing manifestation of God's presence and power in the conception of Jesus. God became an embryo. Who can fathom this? Floating in the womb of Mary. And the reason this is vital, the reason this is essential, is because the blood coursing through the veins of Jesus the Messiah was not human blood, but the blood of God. Amen. Born of woman, the child of the Heavenly Father. I like to say that Jesus was the heavenly child of an earthly mother and the earthly child of a heavenly father. Truly one with God. We are not saved by the virgin birth. But without, listen to me, without the virgin birth, none of us could be saved. Because without the incarnation, Jesus could have never been the pure and perfect Lamb of God to take away your sins and mine. Had he been born of natural occurrence, he would have been a human being and would have sinned even as you and I have sinned. Therefore, he was able, because he is the infinite God-man, the glorious impossible, he is able to bypass sin as he walked on this planet. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. It is the miracle of the incarnation. You may think the resurrection is the most vital miracle, and certainly there's no Christianity without the resurrection, but there's no resurrection without the incarnation. There's no cross without the cradle. There's no sacrifice without Mary's little lamb. This is a miracle. Two natures in one, totally God, totally man. You could never be saved apart from the miraculous arrival and birth of Jesus. Clearly, the Bible tells us that if you deny the miracles, you are denying Jesus. And if you are denying Jesus, you will die in your sins without God and without hope. The miracles matter. There are some who want to, quote, demythologize the Bible, describe the miracles as myths and fables or parables. No. You take away the miracles of the Bible itself is a miracle, breathed out by the Holy Spirit. This is a miracle book, the supernatural word of God. But you take out the miracles from the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, you take out the miracles of Jesus, whether it is his miraculous arrival or his messianic anointing to deliver these miracles to hurting people, and you have nothing left of the Christian faith. Yes, I believe, we believe in Christ, and therefore we believe in miracles. But secondly, think with me a few moments about the significance of the signs of Jesus. The miraculous significance of the signs of Jesus. Why miracles? Why did God choose miracles and a miracle worker in the person of his son? John described these, as we read earlier, these signs. And of course, what does a sign do? It points to something. It advertises something. It explains something. We're asking you to put a sign in your yard to tell your neighbors, to tell the Amazon guy or gal, to celebrate Christ and Christmas. It's a sign. So the unique word that John the Apostle used to describe these miracles are signs. And he, in particular, as a study in and of itself, gave seven signs, a perfect number, including Jesus turning water into wine, healing a nobleman's servant, walking on the water, multiplying the loaves and fishes, healing a blind man, even raising the dead. And he said, these signs represent the story of Jesus, that he has power and authority, and his identity, his deity, in his humanity, that his miracles declare that he is more than a man. You know, most people know something about Christmas, if you live in this part of the world anyway, in many parts of the world. They know somehow Christmas is about Jesus and his birth. But don't understand why we really celebrate and worship the Christ of Christmas. Too many people, they celebrate Christmas, but not Christ. But we celebrate the Christ of Christmas because without Christ, there is no Christmas. What we want people to know is who Jesus is and why he came. And these miracles demonstrate his deity and his power to change anything and anyone. But here's the thing about the miracles of Jesus. So many of the miracles of our Lord were performed on the edge of the culture and society. Those who were broken and those who were outcast, those who were living in misery and pain. Read the story, suffering people. And it is because Jesus has compassion and love for people that his heart reached out to them, the edge, the dregs, some would say, of society, the downcast, the beggars, the poor, people with no help, people with no hope. Lepers who were untouchable, nobody, speaking of social distancing, nobody wanted to get near a leper. But Jesus touched the lepers because he loved people. Jesus walked on this planet to extend the love of God, and he didn't come digitally. He came personally with a touch, with the transforming love of God. Even to touch the garment of Jesus as he passed by was to receive divine power and healing. God stepped into our world, and this was our great need, the touch and the power of God. And all of these miracles, this is the evidence that demands a verdict, as Josh McDowell says. The miracles, the works and the words, the miraculous words of Jesus as well, declare that he is God, that he is Savior. It's more than a Hallmark card to say if our greatest need was education, God would have sent a professor. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need was advice, God would have sent a counselor. But our greatest need was the forgiveness of sin and salvation. So God sent a Savior, and his name is Jesus. One final word, and that is the wonder of the wonders of Jesus. These acts of God are called miracles, they're called signs with significance, and they're called wonders. And John is telling us in this passage that when we believe, he said these things happened. All of this took place, and we're eyewitnesses to this, and it all happened so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. The miracles of Jesus demand a response. Jesus is not a stunt man. He's not the greatest showman. He's not a superhero, kids. He's the Savior, the Messiah. And he invites you to believe him and to receive him, and that your life would become a miracle. A man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, Jesus, he said, we know that you must be a teacher come from God, because no one could do these things that you're doing unless he'd come from God. But you know, Jesus, he was more than a teacher from God. He was more than an inspired man filled with God. He was not a teacher from God. He was God who'd come to teach. And the miracles and the works that of his hand, he eventually said to Nicodemus, he said, if you want to see miracles, you like miracles, Nicodemus? Then become a miracle. You must be born again. And when we believe and receive Christ, for God so loved the world, he went on to say, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The miracles of Jesus should convince you of who he is and what he's about why he came, to go to the cross, to rise again, to ascend to the Father, and one day come again because he is King. I was just buzzing through some songs, some Christmas songs this morning on YouTube, and I came across one that's new, that's getting a lot of hits. It's called, "Oh Come All You Unfaithful." Really good song. Oh come all you unfaithful. Because this is the call of Christ. Come all ye who are weary and worn. All of us who have been unfaithful to God. He is born to carry our griefs and our sorrow. Jesus, the miracle worker, the Messiah, he is your healer. He has come for you. He is born for you. He loves you. You need a miracle in your life? Jesus was born for you. Amen. You need a miracle in your marriage? Jesus was born for you. You need a miracle in the life of that child that's far from home and far from God? Jesus is born for them. Oh, come all you unfaithful. You need a miracle of provision for your life, financial or otherwise? Jesus was born for you. And he can even speak peace to the most troubled heart. And if your world is a storm right now and the winds and the waves are pounding your heart is troubled, he can calm the waves. Maybe not the circumstances around you, but your heart within you, and say, "Peace, be still." He can cast out demons and break the chains of Satan and addiction and all the rest in your life. He can heal this miracle worker, your diseased body or your broken heart. He, the great physician, the miracle worker, can forgive every sin. Believe him, the one who is born of a miracle and who is a miracle. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? I want to invite you to Jesus. Again, the miracles of Jesus. Our Lord, he demands a response. Will you believe? I'm praying for myself and for our church in these days that God will increase our faith. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? But may God strengthen our faith and increase our faith to believe like we never believed before. Believe in Jesus. Believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. You can believe all the miracles happen, but unless it happens to you by receiving Jesus, it is of no power or strength in your life. So trust in Jesus right now. Pray, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I believe. I do believe you, Lord. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So believe and receive Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, my Lord, my Master and friend." And if you're inviting Christ in, I'm going to ask you to confess him today. Online, 74788, type in Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Someone is there to encourage you, to pray with you, to help you in that decision. We have resources we want to send you. But right here in this room, right now, I'm going to invite you to pray and receive Christ and then to come forward as Christ has commanded us to come forward and openly confess him as Lord and Savior. So I'm going to pray, and when we pray, we're going to stand and sing, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and just stand here with me, and your coming forward will be a profession of your faith, of your prayer to receive Christ as Savior. So what's going to happen? We're going to give you a New Testament, a new Bible. We're going to answer your questions if you have questions so that you can walk out of here a walking miracle. Jesus can change and will change your life if you will come to him. You need a miracle today. The miracle is Jesus. The miracle is Christ in you. Others need a church home, a church family. Come forward today and make that decision to become a member of Prestonwood and join us in our mission of telling the world who Jesus is and what he can do in people's life. Lead the way. Maybe you're a Baptist or you're a believer from another church, but now's the time to join with us and officially make it Prestonwood your church home, your church family. Lord, take now this time of decision. Use it for your glory. Bring men, women, boys, and girls to faith, to believe, to receive you, Lord. Add to your church. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.